How's Brun Lage doing? You fan of him?
Oh my god, over our last manager, fucking fantastic, man.
Yeah, who's your last manager?
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, okay. You knew I
intro?
Huh? Intro?
It might be. It might be.
You knew I didn't remember. Yeah, right? Yeah, you knew I didn't. Everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast for episode 85, right? I usually have that on the wall. Okay, 85. We're here on a Thursday reviewing the Champions League games that have gone on.
Bro, I just want to keep clip farming intros, bro. We were just looking at our old intros and they're low-key so class.
Like, I know.
All of our podcast listeners, like on the actual podcast apps, we put like a little teaser at the beginning of every episode. And man, we've been cooking with those.
We have been cooking. Personal favorite?
The Onana one.
The Onana one. The Onana. Gotta be Onana.
You'll bring that back. Onana. I just know it. Yeah. I love how like a third of them are about Arsenal.
I do edit the pod.
I'm here today with Blake over to my left, Antoine diagonal from me. We're actually in our normal spots today. Guys, first of all, I want to pose to you, how was your experience watching them? How did we enjoy them overall?
The day one was very classic. Okay. It was okay. The Arsenal game was good. The Madrid game was...
I thought it was very good.
I thought it was a mediocre game, to be honest.
Really?
But day two was very frustrating for me. Yeah, we'll get into it.
I couldn't really watch day one. I was busy again, which is unfortunate. But day two was good, too. I saw a Liverpool game. I didn't watch the 12:45 game, which was...
Inter-final. Little game.
Yeah.
I actually did watch it. Which went exactly how I expected that game.
Yeah, as everyone expected, to be
pretty much. No.
What had any? Did no, anyone have like, Feyenoord winning?
I meant dominated the game.
Yeah,
clean sheet.
Yeah, grass is green.
But that was my biggest thing with Inter. I said it's going to be hard for teams to break them down. Especially a team like Feyenoord. Like
I mean, yeah.
And then the coach, Lautaro Martinez.
How are our predictions doing?
Oh,
I'll tell you, mine is in shambles.
Yeah, how are the predictions doing, boys? How are the predictions doing?
Julian? What did you say for? Well, you predicted Villa, right? You predicted. Who'd you predict out Dortmund? Lille. You predicted Arsenal, obviously, and then you predicted Madrid. Mm. And then out of yesterday's games, you predicted Liverpool. Inter. You predicted Inter. Bayern.
Mm-hmm.
You predicted Barca.
Mm-hmm. And Barca,
and you predicted Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good. Yeah. I can't even lie. All right, so Arsenal's winning the Champions League, guys.
Yep, pretty much.
It'll look good in the round of 16, and then it'll crumble from there.
We know how this goes.
We know how this goes with Arsenal.
It's the history. You want to talk a big game?
We're not starting with that. No, please. I need a warm up before. I need to warm up.
That's crazy.
Okay, let's start with the Tuesday games quickly, and then we'll go into Wednesday. Do we want to hit like every single game? How much do we care?
I see
about
we talk
Bruges
about every
Villa?
Single game, but we don't have to like go into. Every
of course.
Single game.
Okay, so Bruges Villa. How we
this
feel
is
about
was,
that
this
game?
Was a game that I watched in its entirety.
Shout out Tyrone Mings, man.
Yeah, Tyrone Mings had a great game, but as a whole, Villa did not have a great game. I think the scoreline doesn't reflect how the game actually went. Club Bruges, I think, played an excellent game. Huh. I think they were dominating throughout the entirety of the game. Talbi and Sabe on the right side, two players that I'm discovering, I think, this summer or next summer will probably be in bigger clubs. This whole team might get robbed this summer. The big clubs will be looking for
Bruges.
Bruges. They might get robbed this summer. You have Maxime de Kuyper on the left, who had a decent Euros, wasn't starting for Belgium.
Yeah, who is
but
this
came
guy?
On, yeah, came on towards the later stages of the tournament and played very well. Now gets man of the match against Villa with a very nice and well orchestrated goal. Then you have on the right side Sabe, who I just mentioned, I thought had a great game.
Mm.
And in the midfield, this new guy, this Swiss guy, Jashari, controlled the game. From minute one to minute 70.
Is he a little boy?
He's, I think he's 22 years old.
Okay.
He's a defensive midfielder.
Just on the cusp.
Yeah.
Graduating from the program.
I really don't have much analysis on him except from the fact that he was almost in control that entire game. He's relentless in the pressure against that Villa midfield. And I'm really excited to see where he goes because he's a player that really, really impressed me. But yeah.
I'm glad you locked into this game because I certainly didn't.
This was a game that really interested me because I said that Club Bruges was going to go through. I still want to stand by that. I thought they played well, but two goals scoring two goals at Villa Park is going to be tough.
Yeah.
There's harder mountains to climb, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was like pretty much the same at 1 XG each, maybe 1.3 XG each. And again, we're not talking about XG as the end all be all. We know that.
Yes.
Coming from a later game. but actually, Bruges dominated possession too.
And it's
not impossible. 3-1's not a huge deficit.
It's not.
And Villa have been, I've said this, ever since the transferred window fiasco, I feel like Villa have taken a bit of a step back.
Yeah. It's the fact that it's at Villa Park that worries me for Bruges in the second leg. If the first leg was at Villa Park and the result was 3-1, I'd be much more optimistic given the performance that Club Bruges put out. But it's looking very rough.
True. I agree. Okay, so we're looking at Aston Villa, probably like a 70% chance going through.
Yeah, maybe 80-20 at this point.
Yeah, okay. Honestly. Let's go on to Dortmund. Lille, we had one of my favorite type of goals happen.
Oh, my God.
From Karim Adeyemi. Oh, my goodness. Grass cutters, I think, are more satisfying than bicycle kicks.
They're so good.
That's like almost not a carbon copy, but the same type of goal as Thiago in the Champions League. My apologies. Thiago in the Champions League 2 years ago. Or 3 years ago.
Each other's
sentences. Sandwiches.
That's what I... Yeah, that was hot good, as good, fuck. Good, anyway, good, good.
Thank you. The best type of goals, though, seriously.
Oh, my God, so good.
Genuinely.
So nice.
Genuinely.
So nice.
I didn't pay much attention to this game beyond that, but I thought that goal was sexy. And then Lille equalized with like 20 minutes to go, and that means that next week we're heading over to France.
Poor.
You know, it's 2025 and he doesn't have an ad blocker.
Yeah, that's
is that
that's
weird?
One.
That's very
my
weird.
My ad blocker got blocked.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that.
Yeah, I can't use it anymore. So now I have a different one, but YouTube tells me
that you have
that
to
you can't use ad blocker.
It's ridiculous. Dude.
Fucking disgusting.
Man, Signal Iduna Park is like the best. It might be the best looking stadium and atmosphere in the world.
It's up there for
sure. It's like so aesthetically.
It's up there for sure. This game was mostly this is the game I had on my laptop with the Madrid game on the TV, obviously. So I was kind of not paying that much attention to it, but here and there I would glance at the laptop. Yeah. It was mostly a tale of two halves. And Dortmund, who dominated the first half and I thought had a decent first half. Again, with Dortmund this season, it's not exceptional at all. It's not convincing.
Yeah.
But in the Champions League, there seems to be that different kind of aura to them. It's almost Real Madrid. I'm not going to compare them to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But in the Champions League, they don't necessarily need to play well, just like Real Madrid, to win games.
Exactly.
And I thought this was kind of one of those performances. Lille in the second half looked very, very promising. And the second leg in Lille is going to be very interesting.
Wait, I'm not stupid. Dortmund were in the final last year, no?
Yeah, they were.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's why.
Shout out my boy JD with an assist, man.
JD?
Whoa. That's too close to a political name that I'm not shouting out.
Okay.
Shout out Jonathan David.
Thank you.
For an assist.
Okay.
Not the political. Definitely not. Definitely not.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. It's not the real. It's not this real
JD,
politics.
JD, I'm trying to think.
The vice president.
Jonathan David.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to think of the political figures.
Yeah,
I'm not tapped
in
like that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
PSV 1, Arsenal 7. Dang. Blake, how are we feeling? I said penalty potential.
Yeah, because you're a fraud.
Okay, wait, 1 second.
Yeah.
Ethan Mbappe had his debut for Lille.
Oh.
Horrible.
Okay.
Not good.
He disappointed
me for sure. You could tell that the pressure got to him.
Is he even rated, or is he like a... like the Bronny James syndrome?
No, he's not the Bronny James syndrome, because he's still, you can still see there's talent in him, but
I mean, Bronny James has talent.
I think Ligue 1 for now is where he needs to flourish, and then you can start and then you can start him in the round of 16 games in the Champions League. Putting him in the deep end right away is kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy.
He's been coming off the bench for Lille in Ligue 1 games here and there. Yeah, he's a midfielder. But starting in the Champions League is out of position too.
How old is he now?
He is 18 years old.
Okay, he's got time. Speaking of Bronny James, I don't know if you saw this, but Bleacher Report posted a highlight of him getting a rebound and then missing a three.
Yeah, they always do that.
I love it, bro. I love the narrative.
What are we
doing?
I think it's really funny. What are we
doing?
I think it's just a meme at this point how they highlight everything from Bronny.
It's so funny. Sorry, back to Arsenal.
Anyways.
Oh, yeah. It was just frustrating because I couldn't watch the game.
Yeah.
I was...
Penalty potential, though?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Okay, nobody had Arsenal doing this well against...
I mean, Naps did, probably. He said he would
destroy. Not even Naps had them doing
this
well.
He said destroy them.
What did they do? He said 5-0 in aggregate. Okay, it's a 5-1.
You know what's crazy? No one is going to predict seven. Seven goals.
You know what's crazy? We didn't even. I think I'm pretty sure they dominated possession. Like they had more possession.
Did they?
I'm like almost positive.
See, this is a game.
I mean,
that
the XG was very kind of close they as had well. More. You were just very clinical in this one, Blake.
We just scored every chance, and Martin Odegaard finally played like Martin Odegaard, and it was so good to see. Mm-hmm. And it just shows when like your players play to the best of their ability, good things can happen. I don't have much to say on this game. I didn't watch the whole game. The massive amount of game I actually watched was like the 65th onward. So the game was already done and dusted.
Pretty much, yeah.
It was just good to see people get on the score sheet. You know, Marino with another goal. Timber with a goal. You had Trossard pop up. You had Wanneri pop up. You had everyone just contributing in their own way. I thought the penalty was weird. You said it was a penalty. I'm not going to cry about it. It doesn't matter.
I thought the penalty was clear.
Yeah. And the only thing I would say is the Miles Lewis-Skelly stock is slowly dying because he's getting a little reckless, lad.
Yeah, it's he needs to learn to compose himself
when
he's already on a yellow.
I think so as well.
You're getting booked in the first 30 minutes of the game. That's already one.
And he got taken off because of that, right?
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, actually. 35th minutes, that's here.
And honestly, Ricardo Calafiori is so good attacking, so it's not even a terrible sub.
His versatility as a player, I think, is very impressive. Very impressive. Yeah. He seems comfortable in almost every position he plays, and he scored that last goal for you guys, and it looked natural.
It was gross.
I was talking about the whole vibe around Arsenal. Before this game, the whole vibe around Arsenal was really, really down. Mm-hmm. You're basically done in the league. Your whole squad is injured. You have nothing much to offer going forward. You haven't been scoring goals as of late, but all of a sudden now, the incentive, it's kind of flipped.
Yeah.
The kind of aura that Arsenal holds now is kind of flipped just because of that 1-7-1 game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge. The last thing I'm saying, we got to carry this on into the league. Obviously, the league is over, but we can't just be like, league's over. Let's just wait for Real Madrid in 3 weeks. No, you have to keep up the good performances, keep the vibes going, keep the form up. Because if we just drop off in the league and still have these nil-nils and 1-0 losses, then the aura and the vibe that we just gained through this amazing win against PSV is completely shut off.
I hate that you hit this form right before you play United. Fuck you.
Oh. I don't even care about that game.
I think Arsenal look at their schedule and see United and just...
Oh, no, me as well. I'm feeling just...
Nah, they'll probably
win, this
though.
Point, do you put all your eggs in the Champions League basket?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mentally, yeah. Okay. But you can't just phone it in the Prem. You still got to show up.
Well, top four is practically secured.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Second's practically secured. If we,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying, would it be frowned upon to, dare I say, bench some good players on...
I wouldn't blame you. Liverpool will be doing the same thing, obviously. Yeah. I mean, their position is a little bit more secured.
Who do we have? Forest at the weekend? I don't know. Anyway.
Liverpool, I feel like, is a little different.
Is it?
No. That's why I bring it up.
No,
that you get into this right before you play United.
Oh.
We play each other on Sunday.
March 9th.
Wow. Okay. I feel so apathetic towards it. I could not care less how that game
You're going to win that game probably. It'd be so Arsenal for you guys to win that game.
It would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how much would it matter? I can't even rub it in your face if we win.
Yeah.
Oh, you know you would.
I would try, but it wouldn't do anything to them. Likewise, if they won.
Unless if there's a controversial decision in the game that would get Blake upset, then you wouldn't be able to rattle him.
Oh my god, if Ethwaneri, Ugarte breaks his leg. Oh my god.
I can see that happening. Ugarte's a dog.
Why would you ever say that? I hope your whole team... never mind. Never mind. Okay, we can move on.
Okay. Let's move on to the big one of that day, which was Real Madrid against Atletico Madrid. I really enjoyed this game. Maybe because I wasn't watching it constantly, Antoine, but I did have the Golasso show on.
Okay.
So it was mostly this game.
So the Golasso show basically just hand to Arsenal.
Wait, hold on. How'd you watch that show?
A VPN, and then I just bought...
Great.
Which one? CBS? Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus?
Huh. Paramount Plus.
Well, what's so controversial about that?
Controversial about that?
I'm what?
You're slow today, man.
What?
I'm calling him out for using a streaming...
Whoa. You mean a VPN?
Do you not get it? What's wrong with using a VPN? Illegal stream?
Whoa!
We're talking about me
VPN. A VPN is perfectly legal.
Yeah.
All right. And I pay for my Paramount Plus subscription.
Yeah. Okay. What? Streamies? What's wrong with that?
Whoa! Okay, okay. Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid. I was saying that they mostly had this game going on the Golazo show, but I was mostly paying attention to it when the goals were happening. And the goals were fucking sexy.
Yeah, the goals, like, we were gifted three great goals. Like,
yes.
It was nothing to say about that, but the actual contents of the game itself, I thought was very disappointing. Great player.
Raheem Diaz, man.
I love players that, like...
Hey, another City youngster they let go, might I add.
Bad business. I love players that like resurge, like Raheem Diaz, like Odegaard, like help me out.
You need to come up with your own
help
example.
Me out. Like Gnabry.
Vinicius was low key that.
Like Vinicius, he kind of came back. Okay. Yeah,
he was getting some hate for a little bit there. Yeah.
Like Rafinha, which we'll talk about.
Rafinha's a prime example.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about Rafinha.
I love that. I love that narrative arc, and it shows. I think it shows a certain type of player that doesn't give up on themselves. And that's like the most important thing in anything in life is if you think and you believe that you're the best and you can do the best at something, you keep going because then your hard work and your dedication will pay off. And it has paid off for Brahim Diaz and Real Madrid.
Oh my God, someone put some motivational music behind that.
You can tell Brahim Diaz, Brahim Diaz wants to succeed so bad with Real Madrid.
Yes.
Just from the way he plays. He's been loaned out for the past 2 years and the celebration with the fans after scoring that goal, it's just, you can tell he just wants to win so bad and he considers Real Madrid genuinely like a family to him. It's incredible.
Let's talk about the Rodrigo goal too.
Sorry?
The Rodrigo goal too.
The pass on that Rodrigo goal, Fede Valverde might be creeping up towards one of the best players in the world.
And then he almost earned a penalty a couple of minutes later. He had Javi Galan?
Yeah, Javi Galan.
That's his name?
Skates.
Had him on absolute skates. Had him in absolute shambles in the first couple of minutes there. Yeah, I would not want to be dealing with Rodrigo.
He's so good, bro.
Yeah.
I think he's genuinely like...
Who?
Rodrigo.
What?
He's better than Saka.
Right. Saka hasn't played a game in 3 months.
Yeah, but he's better.
No,
he's just okay. We're not doing this again.
No, because you're not. No. I'm not having this debate after my star boy hasn't played in 3 fucking months. All right.
Please, we're not.
We're not doing it. He's the second best right winger in the world. He's the second best right winger. Who's better?
This is why when talking about Arsenal fans, everybody just doesn't like.
Oh my god, you guys don't understand.
Blake, please. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into this. I do not want to get into this.
You don't understand.
In terms of clutch, in terms of digging your team out the slumps, Rodrigo.
Saka, brother. Saka scored against Saka scored against Manchester City. Saka scored against Bayern. Saka should have scored 2 against Bayern. I'm bringing that up, by the way.
All you fucking bastards.
I saw some people in the comments saying like, oh, Saka literally stuck his leg out. Have you ever watched a Real Madrid game? You fucking cunt.
Sorry. Brother, if you look at any clutch moment and a moment where a player needs to carry his team, Real Madrid have not been playing well in the Champions League. They don't need to play well to get good results. They don't need to play well to win. Rodrigo's a prime example of that. He scores in moments where Real Madrid absolutely need him. Look at Chelsea 2 years ago
It was City. It was the 2 goals in the final couple of minutes.
Saka's just not doing that. And I don't want to get into this.
I think their play styles are incredibly different. I don't think Saka could score. Can I talk, please?
No, okay.
Before you have a screaming match at us for bringing up just logical points here where I'm trying to see your side, please. I think they have 2 very distinct play styles where one could not do what the other can do. I don't think Saka can score the type of goal that Rodrigo scored against Atletico Madrid on Tuesday, but a lot of what Saka does in terms of dictating the play, in terms of facilitating and leading his team, I don't think Rodrigo can do in the same way. More of like around like a playmaking aspect here. They're very different kind of players and with different types of play styles. That's why I'm more eager to talk about the Saka versus Yamal debates, because I see more similarities there in what they bring to the game. Go ahead, Blake.
Can we please not get into this for...
No.
He only has 6 goals and 5 assists.
Also, that's crazy. That's a stupid argument. I'm not even talking about the argument.
Okay. I want to talk about Saka against the big 6. I'm trying to find a good stat, but his like record against the big 6 is like insane. You realize that, right?
I do understand.
No, but you're talking about clutch. You're talking about game breakability.
Yeah, I'm talking about big games and accolades as a player.
I just told you big game.
Yeah.
And accolades, motherfucker, he plays for the fucking greatest team of all time. Like, And you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to bring up speed right now. I'm going to bring up speed right now. And I am going to bring up speed because he said, oh, I don't know why, like, trophies and whatever define a player. And, like, the Ballon d'Or is different. He wasn't really hooking on that. But speed, in his debut with the Golas, or with the CBS boys and Kate, which I thought was really well done. I really liked the way they did that. I thought it was cool. What Speed said, he was like, I don't know why trophies and, like, all of these accolades have to totally define a player. And he was trying to talk about how Messi was not as good as Ronaldo. But in football, we don't just watch for winning a trophy, because if we did, there wouldn't be fans for the 19 other teams that play in the leagues. So, using that logic, why, just because you said, I don't know, the accolades or whatever, Saka hasn't been in a team that could win those accolades.
Yeah, he's been in England, who could have won the Euros two times in a row.
And
he hasn't done it.
As of this month, he has 5 goal involvements in his career against United, 5 against Chelsea, 5 against Tottenham, 3 goals against Liverpool, 2 goals against City. I don't know how you look at this guy and say he's not a big game player.
I never said he wasn't a big game player. I'm saying that Rodrigo in big games is more clutch than Saka is.
But Saka hasn't.
It's just true.
But Saka's barely even played him in games, and he's still shown that he does it. Saka, in the biggest game of his career, the Champions League quarterfinal against Bayern, scored in that game.
That is not the biggest game of his career. I promise you it is not. And he's played 2 Euros finals and hasn't won both of them.
In the biggest game of his club career. Yeah, and that's only his fault? Where the fuck is...
I'm not saying that
his Rodrigo's, fault. Where's Rodrigo's trophy? Where's Rodrigo's international trophy?
Brother, I'm not saying that's his fault. I'm just saying in big games, in finals where it counts, Rodrigo performs better.
Yeah, but okay, in the semifinals of the... When did Saka score that one goal in the last Euros? Was it semifinals?
Against Switzerland?
Yeah.
That was the quarterfinals, I think.
Okay, the quarterfinals. Another big game moment that he shows up. And if goals and assists, if you're just saying that he needs to have a goal and assist in a big game to prove that, then you're going against your own argument.
No, I'm not saying that's just not what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, like, if you want to bring up specific scenarios, I know you know Saka very well, and you can think of these games off the top of our heads. We don't know Rodrigo as well, but I'm just looking through some of his game logs here, and he has had so many performances against the likes of Cities in the late stages of the Champions League, against Bayern in the late stages of the Champions League, like against all of these teams in big games in the Champions League, and he has performed. Yes, it is for Real Madrid, and I'm not even claiming that Rodrigo is better. I think Rodrigo has his issues as well. I think he... It helps Rodrigo that he is overshined by Mbappe, Bellingham, and all those other stars on Real Madrid, where, like, he won't be the most recognized player and maybe a little bit underrated in that aspect. But he has also gone a little bit on dry spells where he doesn't score for a little bit, but that's okay just because of the sheer talent that he has around him, right? I think Rodrigo is a consistency issue, and I've heard that from Real Madrid fans themselves. He's still young, maybe in a couple years. Like, a Galactico at Real Madrid will move on. Rodrigo will step up, and we'll really see how good he is.
But that's the thing. He's stepping up now. He's stepping
facts.
Up now.
Facts. But I'm saying...
With this whole team around
But
him.
I think there's even a level of talent above that. That
yes, 100%.
Rodrigo he's
and
hasn't
also,
even
he's
touched.
Up before, too.
It's just crazy. Saka's always the benchmark. It's just true.
Oh, my God.
He's always the benchmark.
It's only the benchmark because we have an Arsenal fan on the pod who thinks Saka's the
second best right
winger
in the world. If you were a Barcelona fan, we would be bringing it up in, like, the Yamal debate or whatever it may be. Or we'd be comparing him to Barcelona.
It's just crazy
players.
You're trying to compare him.
There's a reason why Jude Bellingham said that Rodrigo was the most gifted player in that Madrid squad.
Yep. Because he's not going to hype up his teammates.
What?
Yeah.
Bro, bringing down Vinicius and Mbappe to say Rodrigo is the most gifted player in the Real Madrid squad is a big
Austin
statement.
Matthews said Jacob Slavin was the best defender in the league. Okay, and he has Chris Tanev right beside him who is like...
I just don't know hockey and this is
no,
a hockey
I'm
pod.
Giving
so
you
an,
no, but
no,
I'm giving you another example just, that
I,
other players
other
can also hype up
null
other
and
fucking
void
players.
To me because I do not understand
God,
your comparison.
God fucking damn it, bro.
I don't
Why do you always
comparison?
Have to bring Saka down? It's so frustrating. It's so fucking frustrating. This guy hasn't played a game in 3 fucking months, and all I hear is he's not a big game. He's not as big of a big game player.
We compare
as
players,
Rodrigo.
Man. We compare players.
No, but it's always
Saka.
You always
players.
Fucking bring him down, bro.
Because
always.
You're an Arsenal fan.
That
if you're a Liverpool
my fucking
fan,
boy, bro, you don't understand. I saw the Matt P video. No, you don't understand. No. Fuck you. What he has done for this Arsenal team is something that I've never witnessed.
Nobody
in football
is denying.
No,
that,
so then when you shit on him constantly and say he's not as good as this guy, not as good as this guy, not as good as this guy, he hasn't played in 3 months. He consistently shows that he's better than almost every single person in the fucking world at his position. Yet he still gets scrutinized for things that aren't even in his control. It's not totally his fault that the Arsenal haven't been to a Champions League semis or finals in the last 10 years when he's been able to play. It's not his fault that he hasn't been in an FA Cup. He hasn't even been playing in the FA Cup this season because he's been fucking hurt. It's not his fault that the team didn't buy a striker to help them win the league this season.
And you're telling me that he's not available in big game moments because he's not fucking played in them yet.
Never said he was. Never said he was. Let's move on because we're literally just going around circles.
God, bro. I'm not even claiming the Rodrigo over Saka thing that hard right now. He's in shambles. He's in shambles.
I didn't think it was that, that crazy of a take myself, but
yeah. You're talking about this goal, right?
What?
Yes, that
Which
goal.
One?
I mean, it's a fantastic goal. No, but I'm saying Saka, it's just a cut inside on his left and shoot.
It's the pace, it's the dribbling, and it's the clinical finish. It's
Can we stick to this Real Madrid, this Madrid Atletico?
I want to give love to Fede Valverde too, yes. Because he's unironically one of, if not the best right back in the world right now. It's not even his primary position.
That's insane.
Unreal.
Insane. The fact that he was doubtful for this game and then comes out and puts out a performance like that, worthy of a top performance. Brother, he constantly proves that he is one of the top players in the world.
Probably better than Saka.
Probably. What's your problem, bro? What?
Nothing.
They don't even play the same position. I'll compare
he probably
players.
Probably is better than Saka, like as a player.
Yeah,
he's good.
He is probably better than Saka as a player.
Saka's the best player unfair on your team, so
he's just not. Okay, please, Blake. Can we just not do that, bro? Like, can we? Stick can we to actually pod watch out here?
you're saying Saka would be the best player on PSG?
No,
that's delusional. Like,
can we please stop doing this?
Like? He thinks that Bellé's better than Saka.
Never said that.
Let's stick to the episode.
Never said that.
So who, no. But answer my question. Answer my question.
I think Vitinha provides way more to the game than Saka would for PSG.
Brother, this is a. What are we doing
Why are you standing
here,
up?
Blake?
Why am I the only one acting like he's not fucking delusional right now? what am I listening to?
Let's save this debate, please.
What am I listening to?
Let's save this debate.
I'll sit back here. Go keep talking about your fucking delusional shit. God damn it, bro. What are you talking about?
Your mic is, you're actually not talking into the mic.
I don't even want
to
talk to the mic anymore.
This is crazy. This is crazy. We're doing a Champions League roundup.
You started this! Yeah, you said he was better than Saka! You started this fight!
I did. But you took it to levels that it shouldn't have been taken to.
Well, don't play martyr! You started it!
Fuck.
He said Vitinha. Okay, go ahead.
Do you want to take five?
No, go ahead. Because apparently... No, you guys do this too. I go crazy and then... I bring it back in. No, but you want the clips or what? You want the big attitude.
No, this is not a clip. It's not a clip. Saka hasn't played for months. He's kind of irrelevant to this conversation.
You okay?
You guys could have just kept talking and you keep asking me if I'm okay. So
I'm just going to make sure. This is a three-man pod.
I'm just heated.
This is a three-man pod.
Apparently Saka sucks from your...
Never said that.
We never said that, brother.
I was just saying the game in itself wasn't too great. It felt like the two teams were just doing the bare minimum. I didn't see much envy in many players on the pitch apart from Luis Diaz, Valverde, and Rodrigo on Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. And maybe Griezmann and Alvarez on Atletico Madrid. It was quite stale. I said Brahim Diaz.
Okay.
He didn't, but I did.
You wanna make a bet?
I wanna make a bet, 100%.
How much money?
Like why are you
700 bucks?
$700? Play the tape back, brother.
Okay, bet.
Nah, 700 is crazy. Okay, I'm not rich like you, brother.
Okay, how much
sit down, you're blocked.
How much you wanna bet on it?
Just a Nando's.
Okay, bet. Free Nangs. That's crazy.
Thanks.
What the fuck is happening in this episode?
He just didn't hear me? Bro. I said Brahim Diaz.
Okay.
I said,
I heard Luis. I heard Luis.
Brahim Diaz, Valverde, Rodrigo on Real Madrid, anyway. And Griezmann and Alvarez on Atletico Madrid. Anyways, let's talk about Camavinga for a second because genuinely overrated. Mm. The level that he's been producing this season has been subpar constantly. He has one good game every couple of weeks and then... Back to reality, back to subpar for him. I think he was totally played on that first goal on that goal for Atletico Madrid.
Yeah,
and throughout the entire game, he just it was hard for him to keep up. It felt like a lot of balls lost, a lot of misplaced passes, a lot of times where he could have maybe played a better pass, made the wrong decision. I'm getting worried for him because the player that he was at Rennes and the stuff that we were seeing on social media and the games that I was watching for Rennes, he was proving to be one of the great midfield, one of the good midfielders that were coming out of that class. But starting to worry me a little bit, his level.
You have to be an insane level talent to blossom at Real Madrid. It's another reason why I'm worried for Endrick. If you're like that B-tier level of wonder kid, this is not the type of team and environment that you want to try growing at. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
But Camavinga, I'm sure, has the talent and everything, but part of me always wishes that he didn't go straight from a Ren to a Real Madrid.
I think it's also hard that he's been asked to play in positions recently that aren't his position. The left back.
That is true. He was a kind of a utility man.
That's always hard on a player.
It just bothers me that this game specifically, he was playing in his natural position. Yeah. And it was just looking rough. On the other hand, Tchouaméni had a very good game, I thought. And
he's definitely one that, like, you know, the two French midfielders from Real Madrid that they bought, he's definitely winning that battle.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%.
And it's been like,
I think the profile fits how Real Madrid played just better.
Bigger.
And
too.
he just walks into every team in the world.
Yeah. Like,
his size makes it so much easier for him.
Let's give a quick little prediction for the next leg. Because next one will be at the
Wanda Metropolitana.
But I still would give Real Madrid the advantage. I thought they looked like the better team in the big parts of this game.
I see extra time in this one, but I do probably think
penalty potential. One. You could say.
You could say.
7-1 Madrid.
You would have to go for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I don't think Vinicius and Mbappe can pull out another stinker like they did against Atletico one more time.
Yeah.
You would expect them to turn up. But I'm excited. It's gonna be a good game.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
Never disappoints.
It's always box office when these two teams are playing. Yes. Like just Real Madrid are just so fun to watch. A lot of teams are just fun to watch right now. I feel the last couple of years we've kind of been lacking.
That's true.
In the teams that like you turn on and you're just like, oh, this is so fun. Mm-hmm. I blame Pep for that. But nonetheless, both of these teams actually low-key entertaining. Even Atletico, which I never thought I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about how they're kind of getting rid of their low block tactics a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm. It's. I mean, you invest in so much attacking power over the summer.
Yeah.
Alvarez, Conor Gallagher, Sorloth.
Yeah.
And the tactics kind of reflect that now.
What a player. Julian Alvarez, man. What a goal.
Yeah.
Unreal. Shall we move on?
Let's do it.
Let's move on to Feyenoord Inter. And just like in our predictions, we're not going to give too much attention to this. But moving on to the Wednesday games now. This is the 12:45 one. And Inter, pretty dominant performance.
You watched that one, Julius?
I actually did.
Good.
I actually did. Wasn't in my best state yesterday, but I did watch this one. And I thought Inter looked decent. It was actually like kind of one of my first like full Inter games I've watched this season. I'm trying to like understand what the hype is about with Inter. Because a lot of football tacticos saying that they have a chance to win the Champions League. And, like, I do low-key see it. Like, their whole setup is crazy.
It's, like, it's fluid. It's every player just goes up and down. There's no strict position.
Exactly. It's the shit that you would hear, like, back in the day when, like, Cruyff was playing, where, like, there was literally no positions.
Yeah.
Like, the entire back line and the front line would interchange as units.
I was seeing Acerbi at striker at some point in the game.
Right?
He was making runs.
Like, Bastoni is actually known for playing as, like, a 10 for them, which is unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Lautaro Martinez, Thuram getting a goal each.
Great little goal from Thuram, too.
Your boy Zielinski missed a pen.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Now, that could have put the tie out of reach.
Yeah, it was just a good save.
Yeah.
Now, Feyenoord are going to have to go to the San Siro, score two goals on a team that's only conceded one all tournament.
Yeah.
So, it's essentially over. Crazier things have happened, to be fair. But it looks like we're going to see Inter in the quarterfinals, which I'm excited for.
Inter-Bayern would be...
Inter-Bayern? Oh. Prime footy.
Let's get into that game.
Hey.
Good shout from you two.
Thank you.
Because a lot of people had, like myself, had Leverkusen winning.
They're so frauds, bro.
Yeah, they might be frauds.
Like, I hate to say one season wonder, but it's given that.
Okay.
This doesn't consider them as a flop, by the way.
I agree. I thought that, like...
Flop.
You know what? Looking back to my prediction in September, actual layup, I could have said Bologna. Why did nobody say that?
What are you talking about?
I feel like if you had said when Bologna,
when we were predicting
bit...
Champions League flops for our preseason predictions.
Did people think
that's like a little bit of a cop-out, I feel like.
It was a little bit of a cop-out. Who's the other one?
The other Italian team? Juve?
No, it was... I have to go to...
Oh, yeah, the fact that Arsenal beat PSV 7-1. And PSV beat you, knocked Juve out. That's
ridiculous.
That's insane. Yeah. That's insane.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, Bologna was a low key layup. Same with Stuttgart.
Yeah. Those are just like the.
But if you say that, I'm blaming you.
Girona. Correct answer. Oh, Girona. That was the one. Yeah. That would have been a layup. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
No, Bayern had a bit of an off season last year. Like, they're going to win the league this season. But I don't know. You would just expect, like, they're 8 points back off of, or 7.8? 8 points back off of Bayern in the league. I don't know. Going into this game, I thought Bayern would win. I didn't think it'd be three. I thought it'd be a little closer. But it just seems like their hype is dying off a little bit. And I think they believe it themselves. Because after the game on the bench, you saw Frimpong and...
Fiertz?
Yeah. And they were, like, heated. And that's fine. That happens. But, like, usually you take that into the dressing room. You don't let the media see it. So the fact that they let that get in their heads and get it out of the dressing room and it kind of spilled onto the pitch just kind of shows the vibes around that team right now.
I do agree. I kind of want to put a little bit of blame on this game on Xabi Alonso because he didn't actually start his top goal scorer, which is weird. I don't know if he thought he was playing chess or if he thinks he's a mastermind. He definitely knows more than us. But starting Amin Adli over Schick. Patrick Schick was 22 goals this season. It's a statement against Bayern, the best team in Germany. It has to be done.
Yeah.
And it didn't pay off. So maybe I would put some of the blame on him, I think.
Interesting. Sorry. No, you go ahead.
It's weird that Bayern this Bayern season is weird, I think.
Yeah.
They don't make top eight. They have a decent start of the season. Then they fall off a little bit. I'm not too impressed with their tactics. I think Kompany might be a little bit of a fraud manager. But they win, which is weird.
Want to say a little shout out to Harry Kane's proper striker's performance, especially that first goal.
I just wanted to bring something up. Blake said in his prediction, I'm going to take Bayern just off pedigree alone. You would expect Harry Kane to score a couple goals. And what does he do? He scores
that header,
a couple of goals.
Hey, what a cross from Olise. Great right winger that.
Yeah, Olise?
Miguel.
Yeah.
Did you overrate him or no?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Did you?
Why'd you say that?
I think he was my goal transfer.
I thought I was going to say great right winger and he was going to take that as a sack.
That's fine. I'm over it.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. That's why I'm seeing you back in. I love you.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to get back
for
a little bit.
I love you. Yeah, I agree. Again, can I bring up Arsenal for one last time? Yeah,
go on.
I would love Joshua Kimmich to join our club in the summer. There's been, like, slight links because he's a free agent, I think.
He's 30 now?
Yeah, I'd love.
He's 30? Wow.
Like, he could play right back. He could play.
No, but I feel like he's been around for so long. I feel like 30 is still.
He's been. Yeah, I thought he'd be.
Yeah, I feel like he's. I thought he'd be 35 by now.
There has been, like, a couple links. Not links, but, like, fan links or whatever. I would love that.
Yeah, he's such a good player.
So solid.
He's such a good player.
Yeah, so
he has a German mentality of never giving up, always that Grinta mentality, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like in his career, he would probably accept a move because he's been there for a minute now. He's done his dues there, won a lot. So, anyway.
Valid. Okay. Anything else to say about this game? I think Bayern looking good to go through, but I wouldn't put it past Leverkusen to come back. That would be a hell of a
moment.
Yeah,
that'd be insane. I mean, you know Leverkusen, how they do it. They love to keep the suspense going.
Yeah.
An early goal on Tuesday next week, and we might be in for a classic.
Yeah.
But you would expect Bayern to win.
Yeah.
Bro, it was... Who was it that had that final chance at the end of the game and put it off the crossbar? It was like a Dembele against against PSG moment where...
Dembele against PSG?
Against Liverpool moment in leg one when Barcelona won 3-0.
Yeah. Oh, really? Someone hit the bar? It was Goretzka.
In like the 94th minute to make it 4-0.
On Jamal Musiala's crazy...
Oh, beautiful skill over the defender. And then squared
insane.
It. Yeah. Will that come back to bite them? I don't know. But if it does,
At 3-0, you hope not. Fuck.
Leon, man. Yeah. Okay. Shall we move on?
I see you're wearing a nice kit, Julian.
Yeah.
How'd they do?
You know what? It's going to be a very similar conversation to the one about your club, Antoine, because we actually had some great chances in this game, and I feel like we should have come out with something.
Mm-hmm. We?
We. It's crazy.
Yes.
Tad confused there.
We.
We?
What do you fucking mean? We. Just literally, it was the same thing. Like, from minute one, Artukoglu had a beautiful chance. Beautiful chance. Literally, 20 seconds into the game, it was a Szczesny fingertip save. Yeah. And that dictated the entire game. Like, that was the whole thing. Chesney, legacy performance, and fucking Rafinha, man. Every time against Benfica,
he's so good.
Just gets it done for the minute. Even with 10 men, Barcelona gets it done. And this was the one in Portugal. This is the one I was like, that we had to do something in, because like, I don't see us going to Barca and getting something. Not impossible.
Why
don't get me wrong.
Why are you so insistent on saying us and we?
Like, just say Benfica.
Like, just say Benfica. Bro.
Why? Why? Like, why?
It's hard for me to wrap my head around.
It's just a little weird, isn't it? Like, I don't know, man.
It doesn't sit right. Doesn't sit right.
Like, because you want to know why? Because if they weren't in the Champions League right now, we would never speak about them on this podcast.
I still watch them. I still watch them.
Yeah, you watch them. Liga Portugal?
Yeah, what was our last game? What was our last game? What was the score of the last game in the Portuguese league?
No idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
I thought a pretty big game, too, against Braga, one of the top Portuguese
sides. SC Braga, nonetheless.
SC Braga, nonetheless, yeah. Top four race. Who's first in Liga Portugal?
That was hot.
It's still Sporting.
Do you know what the point difference is?
No idea.
Yeah, I think we is a little.
Anyway, go ahead.
But it's crazy. Was the first game in the league phase against Barcelona, was that at in Barcelona or at the Estadio de Luz?
It was at the Estadio de Luz, yeah. It was literally the exact same fixture.
What's it called?
Estadio de Luz.
It actually looks exactly like the Emirates.
Really?
Yeah. Like very similar. The same like architecture firm did it, but ours was done at like a third of the cost.
How do I spell Luz?
L-U-Z.
Yep.
Luz.
Stadio de Luz.
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 Yeah. Oh, it does kind of look like the Emirates.
He's a local, so he says it. He says Luz. How's Brun Lage doing? You ahead of him?
Oh my God. Over our last manager? Fucking fantastic, man.
Yeah, who's your last manager?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah,
okay. You knew our intro?
Huh? Intro?
It might be. It might be. You knew I didn't remember
that. Yeah, I had to.
You knew I didn't. That's so good.
Yeah, he's doing all right. I think it's more of the players on this team I think are so underrated. And in a couple of years, they're going to be at big clubs, and you're going to be like, wow, this Benfica team from a couple of years back, they were low-key something.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Remember the Ajax team, bro?
Yeah, that's top class.
It actually broke my heart when Hakim Ziyech went to Chelsea.
He was cooking at the beginning. He had a wand of a left foot.
I know.
But then he kind of dipped, just like every player at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Your boy. Boychek? Boytek?
Boytek.
Tech? Yeah. They call him Tech now. I heard that Barcelona. Chesney. They call him T-E-K, Tech.
Oh, Tech.
Yeah, I don't know.
Techie? Okay. Yeah. Fair.
Great little performance?
Yeah, it was a good performance from Vlad. He kind of made up for the past past frailties he's been showing.
Kind of looks bad on me. I put him on my overrated 11.
Yeah, no. What other performances has he had? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but when it matters, bro. I would love for his sake, for him to get a Champions League trophy. Doesn't have one.
Fair.
Yeah. So if it's not us, I'm okay with Barca.
Valid. Shall we move on to
The big one.
Oof. PSG 0, Liverpool 1.
See, that's what fucking Donnarumma should have done.
Can I see you
see what I mean? That's what Donnarumma should have done.
Okay, we'll get into it. Yeah, anyways. PSG 0, Liverpool 1. I'm just going to read off some stats to start this section off. PSG with 70% possession. 1.5 more expected goals than Liverpool. 27 shots to 2. 10 shots on target to 1. 3 big chances to 1. 3 big chances missed. And 14 corners to 2. This is what you call a domination. A smash and grab performance by
Robbery,
Liverpool.
Whatever you want to call it. It's like that one guy at the casino that's on the slot machine that keeps pressing the button trying to get a jackpot. And then this random other guy walks past him, finds a token on the ground, puts it in the slot machine, and gets the jackpot. It's the best way I can describe that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an out there thing.
A little bit of a stretch, but
I think it's a perfect way to describe it, yeah.
What can I say about this game? It's start minute 1 to minute 87. PSG control the tempo, the dynamic of the game, every single zone on the pitch.
Yeah.
Liverpool do not have a sniff of the ball. And we throw it away. We throw it away. So many opportunities. Kvaratskhelia, what a player. What a player he is. Seriously. The amount of shots that he took, the amount of great, good shots that he took. He doesn't shoot the ball for no reason. At some points in the game, you could sense that from certain PSG players, Dembele, Doué. But Kvaratskhelia, like, he genuinely only takes good opportunities and shoots good shots. Every single thing that he shot, saved, offside. That red card on Konate, man, the foul, I genuinely think that's a red card.
I'm agreeing with you.
Man, yeah. You put your arm is out. You have your elbow on Barcola's back. What more do you want? He was saying that he's a pretty physical guy, so you have to it comes with his game.
Bro, come
but
on,
brother, man. Like it's the last man. There's a shove in there. I'm not gonna blame the performance and the loss on that, because I think aside from that, we should be winning this game, and anyone with eyes knows that we should be winning this game regardless.
But it's a big moment.
Yeah, it's a big moment that can change the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you never know. After that moment, if it's a red card, they might drop back even more than they were, and it ends 0-0. That's why I don't want to blame it on that. I don't think it drives the dynamic of the game. So many chances wasted. There's so many regrets to have from this game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of in the first 10 minutes, there's João Neves who kind of hits the ball on the top, hits the top of the ball,
yes, and it goes over
the bar from a great service from Kvaratskhelia or Dembele. Désiré Doué in the second half hits a great curler that's going towards the top bins, and Alisson makes a crazy save. Kvaratskhelia hits the Mbappe classic and goes near post.
Yeah.
Alisson, that might
genuinely
be,
bro, how Liverpool are trying to replace him next year with Mavrodashvili. I have no idea.
I was about to mention, like, it's incredible. Yeah. And on the back of that, to have one chance and Harvey Elliott score that goal on Donnarumma, lads. Donnarumma.
Oh my God, yeah.
That question has to be asked. Can you ask Donnarumma to make a decisive save in a game that matters in the Champions League? Genuinely. Is it possible to rely on him? I don't think it is. It's been 4 years now since he's had his crazy Euros, goalkeeper of the tournament, maybe even player of the tournament.
Yeah.
And ever since then, when he signed for PSG, the first year, Keylor Navas was playing, so that's fine. Second year, against Real Madrid, the remontada. Third year, Bayern Munich lets in two easy goals on the second leg. Third year, against Dortmund last season, we remember the corner that Hummels scored to get him into the Champions League final. When, in big moments, when can you rely on this guy? And then you have Alisson on the other side of the pitch, who, by the way, as you mentioned, his contract is over next season. Liverpool already signed his replacement. Mavrodashvili is waiting in Valencia. The time is ticking. He's waiting for a spot next season to be...
Go sign Alisson.
To play. He's waiting next season to play for the Premier League champions. Alisson's done. He's off Liverpool's books next season. And he's still pulling in these performances, these top-class performances that wins you Premier Leagues, wins you games, that wins you trophies. Mm-hmm. You look at Courtois 2 seasons ago against Liverpool. That's the type of game that you need from a goalkeeper to win you trophies. What Alisson pulled yesterday, genuinely one of the best goalkeeping performances in Champions League history, I want to say. Courtois 2 years ago and Peter Cech in 2012 are up there. Alisson might just edge it over that. Yeah. I think it's unacceptable, Donnarumma, at this stage of his career. You've played between the sticks for PSG for 3 years now, consistently. You're hyped up before that as one of the best up-and-coming goalkeepers, and you constantly disappoint. I've had enough.
Yeah.
I genuinely
There's
had
always,
enough.
Whenever PSG have a kind of meltdown like this in the Champions League, there's always the same culprit at the crime scene, and I swear it's always been Donnarumma, bro.
It's easy to blame it on the goalkeeper when shit goes wrong, but in this specific case, genuinely, I don't have anybody else to blame it on.
I agree.
Maybe the alignment of the defense when the long ball is played, Marquinhos is kind of back and he also misses his header. He's had a good, he played a good game, so I can't really blame it on that. But Donnarumma, I mean, you're facing 2 shots, you're letting one go in compared to Alisson's 27 shots and making 8 saves. It's unacceptable.
Well, I think that's the thing. When you look at it from that perspective, player for player, PSG won the battle pretty much, player for player. Salah was non-existent. Their attack was terrible. Player for player, PSG won the battle. The one player that battle was not even close to winning was Donnarumma. And when a player like Alisson does so well, you have to make that save any way, shape, or form. Yeah. You cannot let that goal go in. And so deflating.
And it sucks because I don't think At Anfield, this is going to be the same game.
This is 80-20, maybe 90-10 for qualification now. Yeah. You're one goal behind. You're going to Anfield, which is a fucking fortress.
They don't lose at Anfield.
They don't lose at Anfield. They're not going to pull out another stinker like this. It's impossible for them to pull out another performance like they just did. You think Salah's going to do the same thing he just did? Impossible.
And they'll have Gakpo back.
And they'll have Gakpo back. Salah's at least going to better his performance. Even if he doesn't play the best, he'll play better than this. They'll control more of the ball. They'll have more of the ball at Anfield with the fans behind them. I genuinely think it's over. I don't see a way in which PSG can qualify now. It's my hope.
I wouldn't go that far, but
yeah. I mean, if you look at PSG's DNA in the Champions League over the last fucking decade, brother, it might be 96-4 at that point, just from that alone.
It's a different PSG, to be fair.
It is a different PSG, and I haven't seen this team play so good since Ibra, Mota, Verratti, since Unai Emery days, basically. Yeah. And the fact that we're still losing, we might be fucking cursed at this point. We might be cursed. We might be cursed at this point.
Blaise Matuidi.
Seriously, we might be cursed at this point.
Yeah.
No other way to put it.
I'm sorry, lad.
I'm used to it, man.
I was rooting for you.
It just hurts that now, previous years, I could tell we weren't the best team in the competition. I'm not saying we're the best team right now, but there's a different aura around PSG now. You have random fans around the world. Like, you wanted PSG to win, maybe because it was Liverpool. You actually have footy fans around the world that are genuinely enjoying this PSG team and getting behind this PSG team because they're playing so well and they still lose.
Yeah.
It's a different type of hurt that I haven't really experienced since low-key, since the Remontada days.
Right.
Mm. Fuck, man. Fuck.
Well said.
Thank you.
That's tough. I really want you guys to go through. I really want you guys to go through. I don't want Liverpool to win the Champions League. Dude.
I hate Liverpool.
I know. Can we watch second leg together?
I don't think I'll be able to unless I book off work. It sucks because it's daylight savings now.
Yeah, it'll be a four.
It's a four.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Game's gone.
Game's time, gone for a gone. Couple weeks. Yeah. Yeah, that one does suck. I do think you're being a little bit too harsh on your chances for next week.
I don't.
To be fair.
Not
to I wouldn't say like
if
96.
If Arsenal, not 96, that was a stretch, but 80-20 I think is
fair. If Arsenal were in the same position, I would feel the exact same.
Yeah.
75-25.
No, bro. Liverpool can't put out a bad performance like they did. You think Slot's letting that happen? Impossible. Impossible. And now they know how PSG plays and they'll try to control the tempo.
I would have thought a performance like this for Liverpool under any circumstances would have been impossible. Right?
Okay,
but you still did it once.
No. Liverpool are not this perfect. They're not the City Centurions, guys. They're not. They never have been. They're very fallible. They have issues in their team.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's been outlined by this. It was outlined when I said they're going to drop off, and they did for a little second, for like three games. No, but that's true. Like, they're not infallible. They're not favorites against Real Madrid. They're not favorites against even Barca. Like, they're probably favorites against Barca.
No, I don't think they are.
There you go. Exactly. They're not the City Centurion. So maybe you guys do have a chance. This team isn't as infallible as people want to make them out to be just because they're so ahead in the league because they've had no competition. But they have issues. Their defense has not, their wingbacks have not been consistently good at defending. Their midfield is still trying to figure it out. Their attacking ghost every now and again if Salah isn't on his greatest form. They have issues.
That's fair. Like,
they have issues, but
they might win the Champions League.
Talk about one thing?
Yeah.
Like, unless you have something else to say,
I'm done.
About PSG Liverpool. I've heard some debate over the past week that this is the worst Premier League season of all time. Have you seen this?
Matt P. No, it's just not. It's not. I think it's one of the better ones.
Overall, I think Premier League. Like, sure, there's not much of a title race. Sure. But there's not much of a relegation battle.
So what is there to play for?
There's an amazing top four race. You have all of these underdog teams doing amazingly. I mean, from a neutral perspective, United and Spurs doing terrible is pretty entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah.
From an Arsenal perspective, I can see how Arsenal fans are saying that it's not.
Absolutely.
It's one of the worst.
But
from a neutral perspective, you just cannot say that. You have Nottingham Forest, Newcastle, Bournemouth, Brighton. Even Fulham fighting for top four at this point. The top four race is so tight. You have 5 points between fourth and tenth.
And if you look beyond the Premier League, this is an amazing season for football. La Liga, amazing this year. Serie A, close as ever. The Bundesliga has been entertaining. When have we said that? Even Liga and PSG has been entertaining. And the Champions League with the new format and all these entertaining teams. Maybe we don't have like a juggernaut at the top, like a Man City under Pep's system. But just the sheer entertainment that we're getting from these teams and their play styles. Oh, my
this
God.
Is, yeah, this is an
I've been enjoying, I've been loving football this season. This is even as a depressed season. United fan. And that
you're
is saying something.
You have not. You're that's so copium. You have hated watching football for so many weeks. You come into this podcast all depressed. You just accepted the fact that you're shit now that you can say that. But for you to say that you've enjoyed it the whole season is such a lie. You've come on this podcast more times than not absolutely hating your
life. I love United, but I also love football, all right? When United does terrible on a Saturday, I'll watch an El Clasico on Sunday and it'll cheer me up a little bit just because I like watching entertaining football.
Sure.
Now, if you're more biased towards Arsenal and nothing else going around in the football world can cheer you up or make you look at it positively from a neutral perspective, then fair enough.
Well, it's also different because we're in a different title race and it was over and you guys don't really have much to play for. So if you lose compared to when we lost, it is different. Not to be a dick.
I would say at this stage of the season, neither of us have something
At this stage, it's the same.
Yeah.
But I'm saying before.
Of course.
Well, I see where you're coming from. When you don't watch United and you watch other teams play, it's most of the time it's good. It's good football.
I don't think it's been the worst. I think the only argument is the title race has been over and the relegation race. So like the two things that you really, really look for at the end of the season to like get the vibes high have been shit. But ultimately there has been a lot of good moments in this season.
Valid.
Also, can I say something else randomly? Because we're done with all the Champions League, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
I'm gonna go back to my, I love just rehashing their arguments now.
No, go on.
I want to go back to my argument about club versus country.
Oh.
Okay.
Like,
this is from a long time ago with that.
So, my it's opinion,
like a 2 year long debate.
My opinion hasn't necessarily changed, but it's shifted.
Okay.
On the fact that I cannot compare the two anymore, that they need to be separate entities, and I'm going to try my hardest to stop saying one's better than the other. Because after Canada played in the Four Nations Cup and dog walked the 11th province, there was a shift in me that realized that the country and the pride aspect of watching your nation win something,
it's
different.
It's different, and
it's just a different feeling altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying they're now completely different in my mind, and they do not have an intersection besides the sport they play.
Wow. Wow.
He's admitted it.
That's a hill that you've died on after 2 years. One of our first ever clips during the World Cup was him debating club versus country.
Really?
Swear to God.
I think I remember it actually.
Don't play with me. I'll bring it up right now.
I'm just saying.
Good.
I can admit when I'm wrong.
What is the worst part?
Oh my god! I edited this.
What is one period of club football?
This is from 2 years ago.
Oh my god! I hate this. The international. So when all of you.
Oh my god! This is bad.
Yeah,
bad.
I know it.
Take it down.
But can we appreciate how far we've come?
Yes, we have come far.
We've come far.
Your video is about to hit 2 mil. Nas video might hit 3 mil. We've just hit 30K on
Blake's video.
On
might
TikTok.
Probably will hit 1 mil.
You think? Oh yeah,
I definitely think so. The rise has been on good.
I like that now. If you go into our most popular TikToks, it's like 50-50 on how much is like our current clips and how much is still like footy tic-tac-toe.
Funny reaction here, sir.
But you can't knock that phase.
Loki, no, those are fun.
You can't knock that phase of the Real Football Pod down because that's Loki what got us started.
Yeah,
that is Loki.
It's just Loki fun to make fun of it. It's so funny.
That gave us the dream.
That did give us the dream.
It sold us.
It took us a couple years to.
To really get back going on that.
Like, especially looking back at the show we were making a year ago.
It's poor.
But anyways.
It's okay, we're here.
We're happy with
what
we have now.
We here, baby.
Anyways, yeah, I can admit when I'm wrong.
I think recording the pod might have been the best decision.
Yeah, it's so good.
You've ever made.
Ew. I didn't want to touch the Benfica bag.
Did you guys see Paulo Fonseca getting banned for 9 months?
Just no, but that's crazy.
Yeah, what's the context?
So basically, Lyon were playing Brest, and some
pair of good teams there.
Yeah, good one. Some
such a child.
Nice looking.
There was like some VAR call where the referee had to check a penalty and Fonseca was obviously upset about it. So he goes up to the referee and puts his face like right in his face, like almost headbutts him. And that pretty much that's what banned him. That's what got him banned for 9 months.
That's crazy.
Fuck. 9 months because the referee felt that he was going to headbutt him, right, quote unquote.
But
game is gone.
If a player did that, would he get banned for 9 months? Probably.
No, not 9 months. Cunha is still waiting on a ban for doing that to a player. Yeah, I guess it's not to a ref, but yeah, still.
So he's not allowed to go into the changing rooms for however long.
Wow.
I probably like there might
be. So at what point does he just get sacked?
He's not able to access the Lyon changing room before, during, and after games until September 15th.
Wow.
This is a manager that just got signed for Lyon after they've sacked two previous managers. Remember last season, Lyon in 2023, they were flirting with relegation for a good little bit. Then Pierre Sage came in and he kind of transformed them, brought them to Europe. Now they're in the Europa League. And so it was looking good. And then beginning of 2025, it wasn't looking too good. They bring in a different manager and now Paulo Fonseca is banned.
Can they appeal it at all? Probably, right?
I don't think they can.
Damn.
I think it's
usually there's a process, but no.
I think that was the process. I think
wow.
I think banning him for 9 months was the process.
It might be over.
Damn.
Suspended from the touchline until
November.
It's
expensive to sack a manager.
It is.
Yeah.
Lyon's in big trouble now because remember they also have that provisional relegation in flirting with their club.
Forgot
so
about that.
He's suspended from the touchline until November 30th, 2025, and banned from the changing room during, before, and after games until September 15th.
It's crazy.
Not looking good for Lyon.
Damn. Shit. Damn, man.
Predictions falling down the drain, eh?
We'll see after today.
Do we have any bingo card updates? I don't think so.
We hit a mill on a video. I don't think we've crossed that off.
Did we not cross that off?
I don't think we did.
It's been like a month, but yeah.
We've hit 3-4 1 million videos now.
Casually.
Bingo card update. We hit a million on a video.
Yay!
Yes, I'll put that in there.
Good.
Is there anything else? I'm trying to look at the bingo card.
I think
card.
We're done.
We need to get a footballer on a pod soon, guys.
Sorry?
We need to get a footballer on a pod soon.
True.
Is that one of them?
That is one of them.
Oh, my God.
Like a footballer or like a footballing like personality?
You know what's not going to happen?
Yeah, that might not happen.
Blake comes back. Yikes. Sorry, guys.
Oh, you know what else is on there?
Mm.
6YB live streams.
Yes. Well, when we get the,
yeah.
Don't want to spoil it, but.
Potential. I don't know if we'll be online. I don't know how that's going to work. Okay. We'll see.
Could also
live stream from here. I don't know.
We'll see.
Anyways, I don't know what the card is. I can't find it.
Yeah. Before we head out, just a couple more things. I want to just more to you, Antoine, in place of our FPL roundup since there hasn't been a week. How you been finding your transfers and your strategy this week?
So this week, the manager of Macaronia Cheese told me that he was going to go to Cancun for a little bit. As it was, Champions League break. Okay. There hasn't been Premier League games in a little while, so he hasn't really thought of it. He's more in that vacation mindset. But once he's back, he'll definitely touch into that.
Yeah, it's a deadline on Saturday morning, but
yeah,
there's like a bunch of like it's giving me a headache.
Is it?
I won't lie.
Usually he manages those headaches pretty well. So we'll see how he does. I don't have any doubts in him.
Because there's a bit of a. There's a lot of criticism right now to the establishment because, a lot of managers are trying to plan out for future game weeks, but we don't, unlike previous seasons, we actually don't know what games are going to happen, what games are going to be rescheduled, what are they going to be blanks, are they going to be doubles in certain places.
Right.
So it's tough to plan out provisionally when you don't know what games are going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit mad at the establishment at the moment. I think the commissioner is like on thin ice himself.
Yeah. I think actually the commissioner might have... seeing Macaroni and Cheese's manager in Cancun. I think that's why there's so many games rescheduled and all that.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
So, you okay? But yeah, ever since Shiabati Ashili manager left the league, it's been looking really stale.
It's like a ghost town,
Yeah.
And, he was always there to prop me up when I was feeling bad about my managerial expertise.
Uh-huh.
And... it was like when Sheffield was in the Prem last season, and it was almost so bad that it was good. So now, it just doesn't hit the same.
It just doesn't. You don't get that gratification, that satisfaction every week knowing that Shiabati Ashile pulled out another stinker.
I know.
I had a good February, guys.
Okay.
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, you resigned in February. So. That's a great February from you.
All right. Is there anything else to talk about? I think we wrap this up now, boys.
We're done.
Okay. Okay. We are at 1:07.
Good little pod.
It's a good little pod. We haven't been going like too long on pods this week, which I don't even mind.
Yeah, there wasn't really much to talk about on Monday, so I was fine with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like we had to pod today.
If we had to combine the two episodes, we'd be going over 1:20.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
But anyways, quick predictions for United game in 1 hour.
Sociedad's a good little team. At home as well. 1-0 Sociedad.
I really hope they get absolutely battered.
Yeah.
Who does Sociedad have?
Who did what?
Who does Sociedad have?
When? What do you mean?
What players? Oh, what players do they have?
It's a wonderful
a little
question.
Zubimendi in there.
Martin. Oh right, that's he's also supposed to be an Arsenal player. Oh,
yeah, their team has definitely regressed within. If you're looking from a couple years ago, but
they are ninth. They are ninth.
Mostly Martin Zubimendi,
Ramiro in net.
Alex Ramiro.
Yeah. Oscarsson at striker.
Right. Yes.
They have a Gerd.
I'm not too familiar.
Is his first name Oscar? Isn't it Oscar Oscarsson?
Wow, what a name. They still have...
Ori Osterson. That was close.
They still have Alvaro Odriozola. That is a name that's been there for a while. Mm. Else do they have? Yeah, Zubimendi, obviously. This Russian guy, Zakarian, I think he's something. Oryazabal, of course, Euros winner. Takefase Kubo. Cannot forget.
Why didn't you look at me when you said that? He like looked at me for like... Like, did I say that right? That's what it gave. Why'd you do that?
You know,
did he?
You know the Sidemen clip? No. You know the Sidemen clip of
yeah,
Harry gets... The Vic one? Yeah. I got curry on my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Pants to
Why
Vic?
You bend it to me?
Why you bend it to me, bro? All right, anyways. No reason. Just trying to get you involved. They have a Suriname player in their team. Didn't know those existed there.
Miles is in here, so fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, yeah. Draw.
Draw?
Okay.
Anyways, everybody, this has been another episode of The Real Football Podcast, your Champions League edition, extended...
What? Episode of what?
Oh, shit.
Did you actually say it?
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It. Damn it!
It's really, we were just talking
we
about
We were
it.
Just talking about The Real Football Podcast, and you brought it up as well.
That's not my fault.
Do we have listeners now that doesn't know what The Real Football Podcast is?
Probably.
Do we think?
So. That's the goal.
Yeah, I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, sure, hopefully.
Only the OGs know.
Yeah.
What can I say? Anyways, everybody, this has been another episode of the 6-Yard Box Podcast. Champions League edition, second pod of the week edition. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, do all of those shenanigans. Watch out for clips in the next couple of days. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and let us know. What should they let us know?
What was the best take of the day?
What was the best take of the day?
Obviously, Zach is the best right winger. Okay.
And with that being said, everybody, again, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you all in a couple of days. Goodbye.
We out.
See ya.